You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The UFC Buzz Podcast with Gareth A. Davis. Exclusive to William Hill. Listen online at audioboom.com or subscribe at iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts.
Welcome to another UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill with me, Gareth Davis. I'm in the United States this week. On my right, sitting very close to me, is the man known in fight sports as Ariel Helwani's secretary. Not really. It's Eric Jackman, who produces the brilliant MMA Hour here in New York every week. And also joining us on the line is the very brilliant, I've known him many years as well, Mike Dice, the senior director of Fansided, who also, of course, writes on mixed martial arts for the esteemed Sports Illustrated. Not that Fanside isn't, by the way. Mike, a very warm welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
And I think you're in a very cold Chicago, having said it's a warm welcome.
Yes, it's cooled off a lot over the past.
Okay, guys, Eric, you're here as well. Very warm welcome to you. Your debut on the show.
Thank you, Gareth.
Gents, look, before we kick into UFC 222 this week, all the twos, of course, T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, Nevada, headlined by the women's featherweight title bout between Diana Cyborg, of course, and Yana Kunitskaya. A terrific battle coming up there. A very good card. Probably the best card of the year in the UFC in terms of top to bottom. Gents, couple of things. Obviously, this podcast runs every week for William Hill. Josh Emmett and Jeremy Stevens last week. A lot of controversy about the illegality of some of the blows towards the end of the contest. And, for me, the crass thing that happened was that Jeremy Stevens at the end of it gets a fight bonus at the end of it. It did not make any sense to me, and it didn't surprise me there was uproar in the sport. Eric?
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with that. I don't think it's a case where Emmett will have much of a case to appeal. I think this result will ultimately kind of stand where it is. But giving a post-fight bonus to it is almost a little bit on shaky ground, just because of the way that the win was achieved. There was some speculation or there was some controversy around how it was. That said, I don't place any fault in the hands of Jeremy Stevens. It's more on the referees and the commission to kind of take care of that. And in this case, they didn't. There was no replay or anything like that. So Jeremy Stevens gets the win and moves on.
Rubbing salt into the wounds with him getting the bonus, Mike, and perhaps a reason here to look at replays in the sport?
Yeah, I definitely think it's a little insult to injury, you know, for somebody to lose in such a controversial manner, and then they're rewarded, the person who defeated them is rewarded for that, I think is kind of insulting. But I think it's absolutely a case for a replay. You know, other sports use it. Other sports have embraced it. Sports that, you know, like baseball, that have kind of long been against replay are integrating the kind of technology into it. And if the technology is available, why not use it? It'll just make the sport better. It'll make things more competitive.
You know, things move very fast in mixed martial arts, as we know, gents. And you know, I mean, I would like to see a decision made about this very quickly. It could easily be done. We stop when there's a foul. Fighters are allowed 5 to 7 minutes for some fouls, and I don't think it would detract from the sport, and I think it would give us a better resolution. Look, we could talk about this all day. There's one other thing I want to bring up with you both, because I know you're students of the news of the game as well as the game itself. Amazon, this is the way the world's moving. $50 million they put into NFL matches in recent times to get their support in terms of finding an audience for live sports. They're now getting in with the UFC. This weekend, UFC 222, $64.99 for viewers on Amazon. Mike, is this the way we're going? Is this the future? Is this pressure on Fox from the UFC?
Well, I do think it is a negotiating tool for the UFC. Live sports rights are kind of, you know, one thing that's been resistant to rating drops in the sports, and Amazon's kind of, you know, if they're seriously interested, they're going to throw a lot of money, and they have a lot of money to throw in, and it can help drive up the price for the UFC.
Well, I think it's extraordinary how much, you know, the point you're making there, you know, it is going to drive up the prices. I think it's extraordinary how they can get away with $65 first time around.
Yeah, I mean, it is a steep price, and I think the quality of cards overall is coming into question these days. So being able to shell out $65 for a pay-per-view is something that I think people are holding on to a little tighter these days, and when ultimately deciding to when to buy a card. This card that we have coming up, though, I think from top to bottom is one that justifies that kind of price tag. So it's good timing for them to kind of get on that platform and open up a new avenue for people to buy this pay-per-view.
Well, talking about the quality of the card, gents, Mike, I'm going to ask you to keep your answers fairly brief because you were garbling at us, not in your way, but modern technology was making you garble at us just now. Look, we're going to start, gents, with the prelim card. I just want to go back over the bantamweight fight between John Dodson and, I nearly said Hector Lombard then, I wouldn't like to see that. John Dodson and Pedro Munhoz, the odds with William Hill on this one, John Dodson 8-13 with William Hill for the victory. Pedro Munhoz 5-4 with William Hill. Obviously, this is delayed from an event a few weeks ago where Munhoz didn't make the weight. Dodson rightly, because I think it's the last fight in his UFC deal at the moment, decided he was going to step away. How do you see this one, Mike?
I see John Dodson taking a victory here. I think he's, you know, a little bit more technical of a striker, and I think, you know, you have to wonder if missed weight experience is going to have an effect on Pedro Munhoz. That was only like about a month ago. So he's not that far removed. John Dodson used to fly to flyweight, so dropping down to bantamweight isn't big of a deal for him. He's made weight 10 pounds less. So I think John Dodson takes the win.
I agree with you. I'm going to go with Dodson. Look, the only person really, I think, in real terms to have bettered him, I know that he's been beaten by Lineker and Marlon Moraes, but the only man that really owns him in terms of technical skills, I mean, because he's almost like a cartoon character, John Dodson. He can do things that athletes can do in cartoons, but I think he'll have Munoz's number in this, and I think it's either a points victory or a late stoppage for me in the three rounds.
We're 3-3. I'm in complete agreement. I think Dodson gets this one done.
As I say, William Hill there, the odds with this, of course, on Saturday night in Las Vegas. John Dodson, 8-13 with William Hill for the victory, and Pedro Munhoz, 5-4. So we're going with the favourite there. Gents, moving on to the main card. This is a fascinating fight for me, this one. The very popular Kat Zingano. Will she ever be the champion? The women's bantamweights, Kat Zingano against Caitlin Vieira. I think I see Vieira as a big underdog in this fight. I know that you know quite a bit about her, Eric, but Kat Zingano has failed when it really mattered so far on the big occasion, because I think she fights emotionally. But we've seen brilliant documentaries about her. We've seen what she's gone through in her life. We know that she's had this tragedy in her life, how she's driven by being a mother for her son. And what a beautiful woman she is, I've got to be honest about this. A beautiful woman, and I mean that in a respectful way. But I think she'll have too much for Caitlin Vieira in this contest. You don't agree with me? You're shaking your head, baby.
I don't agree with you. I think, obviously, the support will be behind Kat Zingano, but I think this fight is one of those where we're seeing a veteran on the way down and a prospect on the way up. I think Vieira is going to be ready for this. I think she shocked a lot of people in her last victory, so I'm picking Vieira. I think Kat Zingano's just been on the shelf a little bit too long. She could surprise me and come back sharp, but I think it's Vieira's time.
Mike, I'm going to throw it to you. I mean, obviously, Eric is alluding to the second round victory over Sarah McMahon there. And we know that Vieira has great judo, kickboxing and BJJ to go with it. Has she got Zingano's number for you? Is the Alpha Cat going to get beaten?
No, I think Zingano will get it done. You know, this is a fighter that we can't forget has wins over Amanda Nunes, Misha Tate, Raquel Pennington. That's two champions and somebody fighting for the title. So, you know, there's a little bit of a veteran experience and time off's kind of a concern, but I think she can dig deep for another late run before she, you know, rides off into the sunset.
Yeah, I think Eric's making too much of the McMahon victory for Vieira in this one. And I think McMahon's at a different stage in her career to Kat Zingano. William Hill have obviously have Zingano as a minor favourite, 11-10. For the victory, and Caitlin Vieira 8-11 with William Hill. I'm still really, really looking forward to this fight, though. I think it'll be brilliant. Heavyweights next. Now, this ain't gonna go three rounds, okay? Stefan, I'm getting abuse here from Eric. It's facial, it's abuse. He's beard stroking, it's a beard stroking offense. Stefan Struve against Andrei Arlovsky. Is Orlovsky in his seventh coming, eighth coming? For me, if Stefan Struve plays this right and he lands on Orlovsky, he gets the victory. Stefan is one of my great friends from the sport. I've known him for many, many years. I remember him as a 19-year-old, being the youngest ever heavyweight in the UFC, going way back when he fought so many big names, Julio Dos Santos, Roy Nelson, Travis Brown. And these are his losses, by the way. I was in Japan with him against Mark Hunt. He lost to Alistair Overeem. He even lost to Jared Rosholt. I mean, come on. But he has lost recently to Alexander Volkov. Struve, and I say this every time he fights, just needs to get behind his jab because it's 110 inches long. It isn't really, but it looks that long. For me, Arlovsky could take it if he gets inside. But for me, I think Stefan Struve gets the job done early in the third round. Eric?
I do agree that I think Struve is going to get it done. I don't know if we can count on him to sit behind the jab because he hasn't done it over how many career fights.
No, I'm trying to coach him here, you know. I know I'm kind of parodying because I say it every single time he fights.
Yeah, I think we all want that. But ultimately, I do think that, you alluded to this, it feels like Andrei Arlovsky's sixth go-around with a comeback. I really don't think he's going to be able to get it done against Struve, although I don't know that it's going to end inside the distance. I don't know if Struve necessarily has the pop to put Arlovsky out, even though in recent years Arlovsky's chin has been questioned. I think it's going to go to decision, and I think Struve's going to win one.
William Hill, Mike, has it 1-2 for Stefan Struve and 8-5 for Andrei Arlovsky. How do you see it in Chicago right now?
I think Stefan Struve gets the win here. I don't know if he gets the finish. Arlovsky's chin's been suspect, so he could catch him. But, you know, Arlovsky's also 1-5, I think, in his last six fights. So I just think it's, you know, it's past him. We're talking about fighters like Zingano being past their prime. I think Arlovsky's at that point.
Gents, just a quick word on the heavyweight division. For me, you know, Stipe Miocic is awesome as the champion. I interviewed him just recently. I had an hour on the phone with him when I was in the UK. You know, you literally have to squeeze blood out of this big giant stone to get him to say anything. But it's the heavyweight division in MMA that really disappoints me, you know. You know, obviously there's a big Bellator tournament going on at the moment, but half of those guys are from the UFC heavyweight division anyway. It's the one division, I think, that we don't... I know that a 4-ounce glove jab can end a fight or change the pattern of a fight, but for me it's the one division that doesn't have real stars right now, and it doesn't surprise me that Brock Lesnar's heading back.
Yeah, I think if Brock Lesnar comes back, that's an instant shot in the arm for that division. I think if Cain Velasquez... who appears to be going through the motions and seems to be making it clear that he's ready to come back pretty soon. I think that division will soon get a lot more interesting. If Stipe can continue this winning streak, I think his dominance will lead to something, as well as the fact if Daniel Cormier can get the upset, there's new blood in that division.
Is it crass, Mike, bringing Brock Lesnar back, given that he has tested positive on more than one occasion for banned substances, and that the UFC are purely bringing him back just to generate interest in a slumbering, if we can call it, slumbering division, certainly after Stipe dealt very handily with Francis Ngannou. Well, he climbed all over him for 5 rounds, basically, and didn't let him get up for 4.5 rounds. Do you believe that we're kind of dipping into a kind of poison pot by bringing Lesnar back, or is it just a necessary evil, if I can put it that way?
I don't know if we're dipping into a poison pot. I think we've been sitting in the poison pot like a jacuzzi. Other, you know, fighters who have had PED violations have come back and fought, you know, yeah. Belfort, Sonnen. I mean, sure, he's not the first guy. Lesnar wouldn't be the first, and he might not be the last.
No, he won't be the last, Mike. He won't be the last.
Right, absolutely. You need a shot in the arm, so Lesnar is an easy way to go about doing it. But I think the UFC should work more to build up stars. Like Stipe Miocic is a firefighter. He ended the Cleveland title drought. Like, this guy is so marketable. He's so likable. The fact that he's not a huge star is kind of disappointing.
It is, but, you know, there's a reluctance. I mean, as I said, I mean, normally I don't run out of questions, okay? But I had 40, 45 minutes scheduled to interview him. I ran out of questions after 20 minutes, Mike, because Stipe doesn't go in depth, does he? Unless you've got him for an afternoon. The only time he's really gone in depth, and we had a few drinks in New York one day, it might have been the night that Conor McGregor, I think, beat Eddie Alvarez from memory, and Amanda Nunes was there as well, and you know, Stipe was telling us ghost stories, basically. And he got into his stride, but he's you can't change the way people are. He's a naturally... He's quite a diffident man. He's quite shy in many ways. He's quite timid in many ways. He certainly doesn't kind of want to kind of put himself out there. He said the only person that kicks his butt is his wife at home. Mike?
He is kind of guarded, and I think there should be a little bit more training than with some fighters to, like, let them teach them how to be a good interview subject and how to control the interview and get the message out there. From who else isn't necessarily the greatest talker or interview in the world either is Brock Lesnar, but he's still a huge star. And I think there's ways around it.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I agree. So the odds there, William Hill in that heavyweight fight, 1-2, Stefan Struve and Andre Arlovsky, 8-5 for the victory. Now the two co-main and the main event of this card, I think are terrific. Eric and I were rattling on about Frankie Edgar before we started recording. I'm going to come to you first, Mike. Frankie Edgar against Brian Ortega. I have backed against Frankie Edgar in the past. I learnt the error of my ways. I think, you know, he's been bested twice by Jose Aldo. I think he's got his number stylistically. You know, A beats B, B beats C, C beats A in MMA. There is that kind of definable algorithm, and Aldo just has what Frankie has on the feet and does everything better and quicker, even though he has this brilliant skill set. I think overall I still think Frankie has a better all-round skill set, is a more complete all-round fighter. Is this going to be the beginning of the slowing of him? Or did we see, Eric, against Yair Rodriguez, that this guy, even at the age of, what is he, 30, the answer is 36 now, that he's really still got it?
Yeah, I think we know what we can expect from Frankie at this point. A Frankie Edgar fight is going to be tough. He's going to take a few lumps, but he's ultimately going to persevere over 5 rounds. I think at this moment, we're still getting the Frankie Edgar who can summon it up when he needs to. He hasn't been able to make it over the hump and get to that title picture, but I do think Frankie is able to get it done at this point.
William Hill, Mike, and I know you've got to go fairly soon, and I want to kind of get your answer on this. Frankie Edgar is 8-15 with William Hill. Brian Ortega 6-4. So not a lot to split them, but obviously Edgar is the favorite in this contest. How do you see it?
I see it for Frankie. Like you said, I've picked against him in spots where he's taken the next guy, the big up-and-comer before, and I've been proven wrong. And I think it's hard to pick Brian Ortega over Frankie Edgar in this situation. You know, like Eric said, we know what to get out of Frankie. And it's a 3-round fight on top of that. So I think Frankie Edgar will get the win.
I love Frankie's record. He fought Eric Oresk. His first fight, where was it? In the Bronx. You know? Tyson Griffin, his first UFC fight way back in 2007, 11 years later. Do you know, whenever I see him, guys, I always call him the champ, because he really is. He's the champ. There's something about the guy. Find me a golden throne to sit him on, because he really is the champ. Forget your John Joneses right now, your Daniel Cormiers, even your Demetrius Johnsons. This guy is definitely special. I'm going for Frankie Edgar as well. Probably by 29-28 or 30-27 in this contest. We're on to the main event, gents, finally. It is, of course, Chris, as she's now known. You can't say Santos. She's no longer Santos. She's Cyborg. It's not her real name. Should she even call herself Cyborg? I should think she denigrates herself by calling herself Cyborg. Can anyone live in the women's featherweight division in the world with her? Yana Kunitskaya is the next woman to step up and test her. I don't think she will. William Hill doesn't think she will either. The odds, gents, are Cyborg 1-14 for victory and Yana Kunitskaya 7-1 in this contest. She's the biggest, strongest, most dangerous, most emphatically gifted woman and most rounded woman fighter in the world, for all her failings, which we won't go into now. I thought she looked vulnerable in her last fight purely because she fought to a game plan. I think it was quite deliberate. I thought it was quite strategic. And I think the way that she handled herself against Holly Holm, it made it a very entertaining fight. But I don't think Holm was really in the fight in any major way. That's my take on it. I see a victory here by third or fourth round. I think she'll be more devastating in this contest, and I'm going for the Cyborg by fourth round stoppage. How do you see it, Mike?
I see it Cyborg stoppage, but I don't know that she's going to need four rounds. I think she'll get it done sooner. You know, Kunitskaya, for as great, as decorated as she is, you know, the other things coupled with this, it's a UFC debut, it's short notice. She's kind of at a disadvantage in that regard. Will the jitters get to her? She couldn't game plan a la Holly Holm going into the Cyborg fight, so I think Cyborg will get it done.
Eric, I want to throw to you, because you know a lot about Kunitskaya. You know, we're writing her off, perhaps Mike and I, a little strongly, but you've worked with Invicta. You know her pretty well. You probably know the lady very well. Is she the kind of individual that can pull off this kind of upset?
Yeah, I think she is. If people are not familiar, she was able to shock the world a little bit, getting an armbar against Tanya Evinger in Invicta. I also think people are discounting the fact that she's a bantamweight. The CSAC, after she won the title for Invicta, recommended that she actually move up. So she is not a small bantamweight. She could easily be somebody who had been fighting at a 145-pound weight class if that was able to be sustained. So I do think she's going to not be as small as people think in there against Cyborg, and I also think she's going to be game and dangerous the same way she was against Evinger in both those fights.
You heard it here. There's some fascinating views on this week's events. The odds with William Hill again for the main event, the women's featherweight UFC title. Chris Cyborg is 1-14 for the victory. Yana Kunitskaya, UFC debut, stepping up to the featherweight title, 7-1. Enjoy the fights this weekend. My thanks to Eric Jackman, who is the producer, of course, of the MMA Hour. Thanks for coming on today, Eric.
Thank you for having me, Garrett. It was fun.
And from Chicago, friend of mine for a long time now, Mike Dice, the senior director of Fansided, MMA writer, of course, for Sports Illustrated. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
You've been listening to the UFC Buzz podcast for William Hill. I'm Gareth Davis. Enjoy the fights. We'll see you next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.